Chizkiya's Hesped. And the Gemara says, well, Chizkiya was a big tzaddik, so they put a Sefer Torah, and they said, Kim Zem Mashakas of Zeh. And the Gemara says, you know what? Rabbi Yochanan says, they did it for everyone. But Chizkiya's superlative, exceptional praise was not just that he was Mekayim the Torah, it was written in the Torah, but it said he actually learned Torah. Oh, that's an exceptional praise. In which case, the Gemara said, wait a second, Gadol Talmud Chatam Meva De Maisa. Sounds like Maisa is more important, the way Rashi read the Gemara. Where it says, you know, you're right. Maisa is more important, but there's one thing that's more important even than Maisa, and that's teaching other people. Okay, where's Rashi? Right, Talmud Torah is less than Maisa, is less than Limud. So the Gemara says, how could you say that Chizkiya received Talmud Torah and others received Maisa? That inverts the hierarchy. Where it says, you're right. Talmud Torah is less than Maisa, based on the language of the Gemara, based on the Gemara Kiddushin. Okay, Talmud Torah, well, not based on our Kiddushin, based on the language of the Gemara and based on Medashas analysis that Osek B'Talmud Torah Chayev Mitzvos. So just because you're learning Torah, you can't exonerate yourself from a mitzvah. You're right, Talmud Torah is less than Maisa. And the superlative praise they gave for Chizkiya was that he didn't just learn, but he actually taught Torah. And that, for some reason, is greater even than Talmud Torah and Maisa. The two problems with Rashi's position. The advantages of Rashi's position is it reflects the meta logic of Shas. The meta logic of Shas is Osek B'Talmud Torah, Einu Fatur Vina Mitzvah. Mord Katan Daftes, Shabbos Daf Yud Aleph. Why? Talmud Torah is less than Maisa. Yes, that makes sense according to Rashi. The two problems in Rashi is, why does the Gemara Kiddushin say Talmud Adif? It says the words, Talmud Adif. We're not playing around with who got which praise. And Talmud Adif. So the general approach that most Rishonim take in Rashi, and it sounds that way from Rashi as well, is that that Gemara was not discussing evaluation, but developmental strategy. Evaluation, mice is more important. But developmental strategy, at certain points of your life, you may want to focus more on Talmud, whatever that means, more in Talmud, because that will one day enhance your Maisa. How will it enhance your Maisa? Practically, logistically, inherently, existentially, a deeper mitzvah, as we saw in the Meiri, it's Mi'ap of the mitzvah, it's Machshiv of the mitzvah, maybe it's because you have both, as Rashi said. So the ideal is that Maisa surpasses Talmud Torah. But the Gemara was asking in that attic in Nitza, as it sounds like from the Ishami, how should we guide 18-year-old boys? Should we send them to dig graves, or should we tell them, you know, if there's enough graves to dig locally, I send you to Tiveri to go learn Bavir Danasi, to build your identity as a Ben Torah, then hopefully that will enhance your entire life of keeping Torah mitzvah. So I always try to think about that. That's like so many important takeaways from this year. Okay, you're here, building potential that will affect your entire life. Make wise decisions. Okay, let me give you an example of a decision that I made when I was your age that was similar to that. I was in college, I think I've told you this before. I worked extremely hard in college. I went through YU in 2 years. That was YU of the 80s, but it took a lot of hard work. And I learned as much Torah as I could. And Shabbos, I just needed to chill, to rest, to read. I didn't get a chance to read that much, to think, to grow. And I didn't join NCSY, and I didn't join, which was the big thing, it wasn't really B'nai Akiva then. And people came over and tried to guilt me. Why aren't you coming on the Shabbat? Not in a bad way. Why aren't you coming? We need you. It's selfish of you to be home for Shabbos. And I very quietly thought to myself, I'm not acting selfishly. I'm acting selflessly. Just right now, I need to be a little selfish so that I could be selfless my entire life. I hope in Mirat Hashem to be able to give as much of myself as I can for my entire life. I said to myself in 1986. So in 1986, I had to fill myself up with enough content so that in 2023, I can continue to give. So at that point, I had to retract or contract a little bit, absorb, develop it, so that I could be. So think about long-term, not just in terms of your public role, yourself, who you'll be. So where is the balance between giving and taking at this stage? I can't take you, but you have to realize this is, you're building your future, you're building your identity, as Rabbi Sachs used to say. Rabbi Sachs had a great metaphor. On the plane, they say if the cabin depressurizes, or whatever, and the oxygen masks fall, first apply your own oxygen mask before you try to help others with their oxygen mask. You always thought that was an interesting metaphor. The attendants, the stewardess, that's first put on your own oxygen mask. And then once you have your oxygen mask on and you're breathing properly, you can probably help 15 people put on their oxygen masks. But if you're going to try to struggle before your oxygen is intact, you're going to faint and you're not going to help anyone else. Okay? So in Kiddushin, they were talking to young people like yourself. We need you to focus on Talmud Torah, not just for Torah, but also for mitzvahs. That's Rashi's approach. The second problem with Rashi is not just the Gemara and Kiddushin, but the second problem in Rashi, who remembers what's the second problem in Rashi? Not just how does he reconcile Kiddushin, in which they said Talmud Adav, according to Rashi, Talmud Torah is less than Maisim. What's the other problem? Who remembers? Why is limud correct? Why is teaching superior? There's no formula for that. Because in Rashi's hierarchy, Maisa is superior to Talmud Torah. So why should all of a sudden this superlative praise that we gave Chizkiah, why should it be better? Tell me why the evaluation. So we had a long conversation in Shir yesterday. Some said, well, we have to work it through the extant hierarchy. The only hierarchy we know is that Maisa beats Talmud Torah. So somehow we have to shoehorn Limud HaChayim into Maisa. Because they're going to do mitzvot because it's a form of Maisa. The other approach is what people said, but it's just missing from Rashi and missing from the Mishnah. Is no. Maisa is superior to Talmud Torah. But there's something about teaching, which I agree with, that surpasses everything. What that thing is anyone's guess, because we don't see this in the Mishnah. Okay? I introduce to you the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam is coming from a position that Kiddushin represents the gold standard. Kiddushin is a paradigm. Kiddushin is the model. The Gemara Kiddushin says, Talmud Adif, period. I may be from Brooklyn, but even I can get that one. Talmud Adif. Talmud Torah surpasses Maisim. It's not just a developmental. Talmud Adif. In fact, there's a Sefri that I didn't give you. Maybe I'll show it to you on Sunday. Talmud Adif. So if so, how does Rabbeinu Tam understand the question in Chizkiah? If Talmud is Adif, then it makes sense that Chizkiah learned and everyone else, you know, just the Maisim Tom. That makes sense. And the Rabbeinu Tam's, do I have the Rabbeinu Tam's hierarchy here on the board? No. They put the Rabbeinu Tam's hierarchy on the board. You can see this is Rashi. Rashi is the blue. Rabbeinu Tam will be black. And the Tom says, I'm already coming to the sugya with a position, with a stance that this is the hierarchy. Masim, mitzvos, is less than Talmud Torah, is less than Limud. But I know this much. I know that Talmud Torah is superior to Masim and the mitzvos. That I get from Kiddushin. Kiddushin makes it clear. So it makes sense. If this was the Chizkiah Hesved, and this was everyone else, it makes sense. If Chizkiah surpassed everyone else. What's the Gemara's question? What was the Gemara's question? Oh, how can you reserve Limud for Chizkiah? After all, God told Talmud. No, you're right. I reserve Limud for Chizkiah because that's A+. Everyone else gets an A. He gets an A+, because Talmud is A+. And Mitzvahs is just A. So Rabbeinu Tam reinterpreted the Gemara. The Gemara wasn't in Bava Kamma assigning value. You're right. Everyone knows based on Kiddushin that if we assign value, Talmud Torah surpasses Maisim Tov and Mitzvahs. Gemara was saying, however, experientially, if you do Mitzvahs, you probably have to learn. So this whole scenario that we worked out, these tables that we worked out. Oh, who are you? I'm a regular melech. Okay, we'll say that you're Mekayim Mitzvos. Oh, I'm Chizkiah plus. I'm the business class. Oh, say you learned Torah. Wait a second. But everyone who did Mitzvos has to learn. So we're not creating any discrepancy between the praise we give Chizkiah plus and his crowd and the praise we give regular people. So that was the Gemara's question. Not which is more important. If you want to look at what's more important, look at Kiddushin. Again, this is so important methodology when you have a stira between two sugyos. Generally, Rishonim will say, Sugya X is the paradigm, Sugya Y is the deviance, is the application, is some small, narrow, Hechatimtza or Kimta. So according to Rashi, what's the paradigm? Bava Kamma. What's more important? Mitzvos. That's what Bava Kamma says. Therefore, how could we say that everyone did mitzvos and Chizkiah the Talmud Torah? Doesn't make sense. Whereas, and what's Kiddushin? Kiddushin, yeah, that's just developmental. Chilasarka. There's going to be a time the opposite. What's the gold standard? What's the paradigm? Kiddushin. Talmud surpasses Maisim Tov. Aye, so what's the Gemara in Bava Kamma? We're going to talk about that. He's talking about inferentially, when you say someone did mitzvahs, of course he learned, so you're not making any special praise for Chizkiah. That was the way the Rabbeinu Tam set up the Gemara. It makes sense in Kiddushin, because it takes Kiddushin not as an exception, or Hechatimson, or Kimta. It takes Kiddushin as the paradigm. It reads Bava Kamma differently than you and I would have read it, and Rashi would have read it. Again, we have a problem in Rabbeinu Tam waiting for us. We'll see in a moment what that problem is. Gabi, had a question?
Time, why do you need to bring in the Gemara from Kiddushin? It's just obvious. Like, if the
Kashrut
just that key
and
includes
Ma'aseh,
then why do you need to bring the whole Kiddushin?
We didn't bring Kiddushin. Just had a phrase. Gadol Tamas, I'm maybe the Ma'aseh. Didn't quote Kiddushin. Happened to quote a line. There was also a quote in that conversation in Kiddushin. Okay, that in Kiddushin was quoted for assigning value. In Bava Kamma was quoted to say that experientially, Tamas maybe the Ma'aseh. So if you kind of miss this, you learned. So the same phrase, which of course, when Chazal wrote it, they probably impacted multiple meanings into it. That's why they spoke in such a cryptic way. They didn't say Talmud Adav. They said, Gadol Talmud, Shatam Meva De Maisa. So in Kiddushin, they drew one meaning out of it. Talmud surpasses Maisa. In Bava Kamma, a different meaning, related with drawing. But by the way, even though Talmud is greater than Maisa, it also happens to be Sulte Maisa. So if you can tell someone did mitzvos, you can assume that he also learned. And therefore, how could we say, oh, you're a regular king, we'll just say he did mitzvos. It's basically accrediting you with learning Chizkiah territory. Yes, you saw
that.
Okay, but think about that. Doesn't it?
It
yeah, it sounds. In the Vegamru, then, no, if you look in Kiddushin,
yeah, the Vegamru, it says that they
Nenu Kulam. Yeah, Nenu Kulam Talmud Adef, Gadol Talmud Shem Eimai. Right, right. Sounds like there was a phraseology in Chazal before this meeting in the attic called Gadol Talmud Shem Eimai. And in the Aliyah in the attic, they took it for one reason, according to Beit Adam Talmud Adif. And in Bava Kama, whoever was offering the Gemara took it for another reason, to show the logical enabling of learning for Torah. Wasn't it a, doesn't sound like coined the phrase in the attic. The phrase in the attic is Nenu Kulam Vyamo Talmud Adif. Check good.
Maybe Rabbeinu Tam thinks they did coin it there.
Okay, this is historiography, right? Where did they coin it? But still, Rabbeinu Tam's reading, there's a phrase that carries two meanings, and regardless of when it was coined, and obviously that meeting took place before this Gemara was written. I know when this Gemara was said. It could have been said at some earlier point in the Masara, but we know when that meeting happened. We can date the meeting. And this is more, you know, fascinating historiography of Shas, the relationship between how it was written, how it was codified, but it's above my pay grade. Certainly a day like today, okay? Now, the big problem of Rabbeinu Tam is, and this is a problem I alluded to yesterday, is the macro logic of Shas. According to Rabbeinu Tam's hierarchy, Talmud Torah is superior to Ma'aseh Tovim. If Talmud Torah is superior to Ma'aseh Tovim, how come Osik v'Talmud Torah ain't patur min ha-mitzvos? Remember, remind us which two Gemaras in Shas make it very clear that you can't excuse yourself from a mitzvah because you're learning Torah? Shabbos Yud Aleph. Mafsikin l'kriya shema v'l'tvila unless you're Shimon Bar Yochai. What else? Who remembers? Mudkat Naftes. Steer and Tupisakam in Mishnah. One pasuk says, football isn't more important than Torah. But everything else, Hashem's tefillin, is more important than Torah. Another pasuk says, V'chol, current opinion, V'chol, what's the language? Current opinion, how many American? Mudkat is a Mudkat. One is a current opinion, V'chol, Chavetzachal Yishuvah, V'chol, opinion, V'chol, is that the language? Anyone have the pasuk? No. Where is it in Perek? Let's get the pasuk right. Anyone ever learn Mishle? Not a popular sefer. I know Mishle by heart in Yiddish. Because my bus driver in elementary school was a Holocaust survivor, and he would chant with us every day a Perek of Mishle in Yiddish. The whole bus. Called him Rabbi Perler, this big guy with a big, you know, beard and long sentences, and we chant Mishle. So somewhere deep in my mind is Mishle in Yiddish. I don't know deeper, I know it's Perkins, but I remember chanting on the bus. Okay, just like you guys, right? Like your bus drivers, right? Okay, it's a different world. Where's the Tess? Who has no one has the Mardikatan? No one has the
Mardikatan?
Okay, that's the second pasuk. So Gemara says, you're right. If it's a mitzvah that others can do, you can learn. But if it's a mitzvah that no one can do, basically it's a pressing mitzvah, then you can't continue learning, which is the same logic as Shabbos. Okay, other people do the mitzvah, then I can say. But if my learning is going to come at the cost of a mitzvah, I can't. If it's a mitzvah like Sukkah, Lulav, Masa, that I can't rely on other people to do it for me, because it's a mitzvah, Shabbos, or it's a mitzvah that's just not enough people, Chanas Eskala, or Havai Esemes. Okay, so the big problem with Rabbeinu Tam is, how would the Rabbeinu Tam solve that problem? So there are two answers in the Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, one approach is to say, okay, follow carefully, this is a little bit challenging logic, but, okay, the problem was as follows. Rabbeinu Tam, what was the problem? What was the question in Bava Kama? How can we reserve Limud Torah, Talmud Torah, for Chizkiah, and tell everyone else that they did mitzvos about everyone else that they did mitzvos, then they learned. So Rabbeinu Tam is entering with a hierarchy which presumes that Ma'aseh Tovim is less than Talmud Torah. The only problem is, inferentially, B'chlam Asayim Man. If you say that everyone learned, you're saying they did Torah. So what's the Gemara's answer in Bava Kama? What's the special praise for Chizkiah? What's the answer according to Beit HaTam?
He taught.
And of course, according to Beit HaTam, we know why teaching is so superior, because it's Talmud Torah on steroids. And we know Talmud Torah is the higher one. That's a simple way to interpret Beit HaTam. From Tosfos and Kiddushin, it sounds like that once we solve the problem with Chizkiah and we allocate some special phrase for Chizkiah that no one else gets, maybe in Maskana we invert this hierarchy. In the Maskana, really, it's Talmud Torah, Ma'aseh, and maybe that's the conclusion. We started with one hierarchy. The simple way of reading Rabbeinu Tam, which is what we'll get to, is we kept the hierarchy, we just gave the apogee to Chizkiah's friends, Chizkiah and his friends, Chizkiah plus. we thought that we're discriminating between Matar, Mice, and Dovin based on this level of the hierarchy, even though there's a hierarchical relationship and Tara is more important than Mice and Dovin. But if you say Mice and Dovin, you assume Tara. So we have to find some special price for Chizkia, which isn't assumed by Mice and Dovin. The regular king will say he didn't, so that's assuming he taught Tara. Chizkia will say he taught Tara, so that's a higher price. If it sounds like in Tosis and Kiddushin, we'll read it together, I didn't get a chance to look at it, I just remember Tosis. Tosis and Kiddushin, it sounds like that the question was, what's the special price for Chizkia? The special price for Chizkia is teaching Tara. And by the way, you were wrong in your hierarchy. In the hierarchy, it's now Talmud Torah less than Meisim, less than Levi. Why do you have to say it? I don't know. Of course, you have to say it because of the meta logic of Shas that Osek with Talmud Torah ain't a part of Menemesis. Let's see Tosfos and Kiddushin. Anyone not have a Gemara? Do you want to read it together? Anyone not have? Should I send you a WhatsApp? So WhatsApp you to Tosfos. Again, I didn't get a chance to open the Sefer, but I believe this is what Tosfos says. Okay. Okay, so Tosa says, we're going to take a look at your WhatsApp. Okay. V'yei Shlomo, let's read the Tosa. He's quoting Rabbeinu Tam, he's quoting Shita Tosa. It starts with the third skinny line. Dehasam Hachi Perish. Baba Kama has the following discussion. It's not related to what's more important. V'hadar Amar Le Kayim, Amrinan Limid Lo Amrinan. Regular people say they did mitzvahs, they didn't learn. Only Chizka gets the highest praise of learning. If he didn't learn Torah, how did he do a mitzvah? It's his average king. Once we say the average king did mitzvahs, as a righteous king, we infer, or imply whatever, of course. If you're going to say he did mitzvahs, of course he learned. So you're basically spreading the wealth to every single king. Umishani, halamigmar, listen carefully, halagmure, right? The same differential. Teaching is the highest, and that's what Chizkia gets. Kolomer le mikmar lidi day. Look at Tosfos. Le mikmar lidi day. Did learn Torah? Vaday ma'isa adif. You see how we're switching the hierarchy now? We started with one hierarchy. Mitzvos, Talmud Torah, Limud, in ascending order. And we had a question, which wasn't a question about the hierarchy. There wasn't a contradiction in the hierarchy, which was a question of the application of Bava Kama. Okay, we know that Talmud Torah is greater than Meisim, but if you say he did Meisim, probably learned Torah also. When he says, hey, you know what? I'm going to change the whole hierarchy. My hierarchy is Limud is the best, but Meisim beats Talmud Torah. And that's why if you're learning, you have to stop learning in order to do a mitzvah. It's a little line that tells us, and I don't really, I didn't have time to think, I would like to think about this, what forces tell us to say? I know what forces tell us to say this macro logic, because he wants to abide, but all the Gemaras, you'll see, they say, if you're learning, you got to do a mitzvah. So if you got to stop learning to do a mitzvah, at least Tosfos and Kiddushin felt your final hierarchy has to prioritize mitzvahs over Talmud Torah, because why else would you stop learning to do a mitzvah? We'll see in a moment why else, but why else would you stop learning to do a mitzvah if Torah was still superior in the old hierarchy to mitzvahs? But I don't know why he gets it from the Gemara. Like, it's not necessary in the Gemara. I can still retain the hierarchy, as Tosfos and Bava Kama does. And Torah is still more important than mitzvos. But, and the problem was, how do I say mitzvos for the average king if it includes Torah, implies Torah, and I just find some special praise for Chizkia, and I keep the hierarchy, and I'll solve the general problem of Osik Vitara Enopatra Minam Mitzvos. I'll solve it some other way. I don't know what forces, but again, for those who didn't follow the first time, just look at this line in Tosfos. Okay? The kivan when I'm shani halamigmar first one the line halik murei kloma lamigmar lidi day to learn by yourself vaday ma'isa adif you see vaday ma'isa adif avlik murei lachrini vaday adif tvei ma'isa hilkach lima lachrini lo amrinam we're not going to say that highest praise for Chizkia that you were rebbe and you taught him. I don't know where Henry Alexander goes from. I don't know where he gets this. Like why he needs this. I know why he needs this at the macro level of shas, but how does it come from the sugya? You don't need it in the sugya. In the sugya, all you have to do is find A++. And give that to Chizkia. What's A++? Teaching Torah. Meisim and Talmud Torah. Keep your old hierarchy based on Kiddushin. Based on Kiddushin, that's the Talmud Adav, which is where the Rabbeinu Tam starts from. So, I don't know if this is originally Rabbeinu Tam, but it's certainly part of that Tosfos conversation. One of the 70 Rabbi Vadya Yosefs who sat in front of Rabbeinu Tam. Like, if I had a DeLorean in one setting, it may be my setting. Like, to go back to France, not, this is a great setting, there's a lot of crusades, but to go back to France in the middle of the 12th century, like, walk into that base medrash and just be a fly on the wall for a day. And see 70 or Rabbi Yosef's learning in front of Rabbeinu Tam. Like, I'll be the waiter. I'll bring everyone a cup of water or something. So I don't know who this is, but it sounds like it was someone under Rabbeinu Tam's influence because that's what we have in Rabbeinu Tam in Baba Kama. Yes, Henry.
why is hierarchy somebody who's teaching? Are they apostles?
So that's that would be the problem. And in theory, you may be able to say that's Rishonim and Yochai. That's Torah or Masal territory. But that would be the internal question of Bein Hatam if you take this approach. The other approach, and I'll answer your question in a moment, Aaron, and this is going to be our main show of the day. So if you haven't followed until now, here's another chance to get in. The main show of the day is, let's say you take hardcore of Bein Hatam and you keep the original hierarchy. And the original hierarchy, Talmud Torah, is more important than mitzvahs. And the problem with Chizkiyah's non-Chizkiyah kings was, okay, but how do you say they can't miss this? You're assuming they also learned. And the answer is, okay, Chizkiyah is A++, he taught Torah, but you keep the hierarchy, and in that original hierarchy, Torah, Talmud Torah, look at black, is more important than mitzvahs. Then how come if I'm learning Torah, I can't say I'm doing the most important thing, I'm fader from mitzvahs? That's the big question that we're going to face today. And I'll tell you the famous answer of Havar, which is already foreshadowed by the Netziv and the Meshech Chachma. We'll see together. Yes, Yosef. Well, they're disagreeing about reading the Gemara, but yes, the hierarchy is the same. Okay? Okay. Yes, sir.
How do we see that on Tosfos that he's specifically answering the question from Rabbi Natan? Maybe he's just following Rashi's reading?
No, because he starts reading the Gemara like Rabbi Natan. Rashi didn't read the Gemara there. Rashi read the Gemara as we enter with the hierarchy. We enter with the right hierarchy, namely, Maisim is more important than Talmud Torah. And that right hierarchy creates a problem with Chizkiyah. Why does Chizkiyah get less and everyone else gets more? He gets how he learned, everyone else gets Maisim. It's backwards, upside down. The answer is we've got to flip the hierarchy. Because according to Bein Hatam, we come in with one hierarchy, and the question is not that Chizkiyah and the difference between Chizkiyah and other kings flips the hierarchy, it's just logically it doesn't make sense, because if you do mitzvahs, you learn Torah. And then the answer is, let's just find A+ for Chizkiyah. Why do you have to flip the hierarchy to solve the problem? Like, what do you? It's not in the Gemara. And as a lambda, as I told you, necessity is the mother of lambdas. Don't say something like this yet. So there's a necessity here to make it work with Shas, but it doesn't come from the sugya, because I don't have to flip the hierarchy to solve the Chizkiyah. I could just say Chizkiyah gets teaching Torah, and everything else works. Okay, let's hold off, because we're getting a little late. Okay. Rav Aaron famously wrote a Chiddush. Okay, I love this. It's such an incredible, like, you can just see logic. All I can say, you can just see Torah lodging in this Chiddush. So even if you haven't been following every little cough and sneeze, here's a chance to get it. I'll repeat how it helps us in our sugya, and then I'll tell you where Rav Aaron's coming from. It's pretty much the same, slightly different angle, and then I'll tell you Rav Aaron's Chiddush, which, as I told you before, is implicit in many, many, I wouldn't say Rishonim, but certainly Achronim. Okay. Our problem today is Rabbeinu Tam. Forget Tosfos and Kiddushin. You got it. You didn't get it. Rabbeinu Tam's hierarchy is that Talmud Torah is better than mitzvos. That's what the Gemara Kiddushin says. Talmud Adif. Question above a comma was just a logical question. It doesn't make sense to say mitzvos because it assumes learning. And we retain that hierarchy, Zev and the Maskana, and Talmud Torah is better than Maisim. But Chizkiyah's special superlative praise is he taught Torah, everyone else gets Talmud or Maisim. If that's true, according to Rabbeinu Tam, if in the end Talmud Torah is greater than mitzvos, then why do you stop learning in order to do a mitzvah? Shabbos and Mardi Kana. Rav Aaron asked the question from a slightly different angle. It's the same idea, and it's the same answer, but I want you to see the slightly different angle just so you can see so much of what I'm saying in this room, okay? I want you to understand it. I don't want to give chiddush. I want to teach your mind to think in Talmudic logic. So I speak so much, and so I repeat things so much. I want to train your mind in the logic. Because the logic is in every sugya, not just the methodology, but the logic. So if I'll say something, you know, will that help them see the inner logic of Shas? So that's why I'm thrilled that I'm a dumb person, my mind doesn't work, well, I have to say things again and again and again and again for myself just to make sense of them, but I feel like I'm teaching myself the logic, I'm teaching myself a language. You want to speak Spanish, just repeat it again and again. You want to speak Gemara, say it again and again and again, just to connect the dots. I just want you to hear how Rav Aaron approached the question. It's the same answer, but it's a slightly different question. Rav Aaron's question was, we all know that Talmud Torah is a great mitzvah. Talmud Torah connected kula. So anyone know an example of Osek Mitzvah Patim and Mitzvah? What's a classic example? Anyone know Yosef's example? Right. If I'm watching an Aveda, that's a Gemara Bava Kama, and an Ani comes to my door, I can tell the Ani, sayonara. If an Ani comes to my door and I have to give money. I can't state this importantly enough. If you do not give an Ani tzedakah, when he asks you directly, and you have money, Now, have money is already a whole different question. What if you have a $100 bill and you can't change it? Okay, I don't have $100. What if, you may have to, but let's say for argument's sake, you don't have to. What if I don't have any change? The Baruch Hashem, Osanis today, except Paybox and Bit, you know, we'll have Excel and things that you would have there. So for me, I will never say no to, I don't have 5 shekel. I'm not a rich person. I don't have that much money to give. So, but if you have the ability and you say no to an ani, you're over a mitzvah deraisa again. I didn't put on tefillin there. Like missing tefillin. You miss the mitzvah pasach tiftach as yadcha lachicha laniyacha. You may be over a lauta say, but let's minimize. You're only over a mitzvah. Only over a mitzvah's essence. You can give a penny. You can give 2 pennies. And that's probably a nisa referring to someone's feelings. You can give 10 cents. Whatever you have. Now, what happens when people come to the door and they may be scammers? So my feeling is, if assuming upwards of 70% are not scammers, because like that's a pretty bad scam job. You want to scam people money. I got more elegant ways to scam people money. But let's say high estimation. I would rather be machmir safik deraisa l'chumra and waste my money on the 30% scammers rather than be over the 70% mitzvah essay that I'm avoiding. So for the rest of your life, if you have money, you don't have now. Having money may mean certain things. You have $10 and your mother asked you to go buy meat. You don't have money because someone gave you money to go to the butcher and get something. Or you need to buy something very important that day. Not an extra donut, but you need to buy something really important. So have is the word in parentheses. But I think people feel like, oh, choose to give. I don't choose to give. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Okay, going to Ram, even if he doesn't put his hand out, even if you see the ani. Okay, let's hold simple sheet of the Shulchan Aruch. He puts his hand out, he asks you, he talks to you, she asks you to talk to you. You don't have the right to say no. You give whatever you can give. You try your best. Okay? So if I am watching football and the ani comes to my door, I have to stop what I'm doing, and believe me, I stop what I'm doing sometimes. I'm just so busy and so tense, whatever. I like stand by the door, take 3 breaths because I want to make sure that I treat the ani with respect because I can't give him that much money, but I want to give him my respect, you know, because I'm so busy and I'm sad that, you know, not sad, but like he came to the door and I have a million things to do, so I just collect myself and then talk to him, smile to him, and do whatever I can. But let's say you're watching an Aveda and the ani comes to the door and you're busy with the Aveda, you're busy airing out the carpet or feeding the animal or, you know, adjusting the cell phone that you found so that it doesn't miss the time or something. You can tell the ani, hasta la vista, baby. I'll see you some other time. I'm doing a mitzvah. I'm pater from a mitzvah. Okay, anyone know the Gemara in Sukkah? Another example of osik mitzvah, pater min a mitzvah? Chasan is pater from Kriya Shema. Okay, maybe it's Tarud. Shulchei Mitzvah, the Mishnah says in Sukkah Daf Chafei, if you're on your way to see your Rebbe, you're on your way to see your Rebbe, big mitzvah, you're on your way to do a mitzvah, you're on your way to Karim Pesach. So any mitzvah makes you pater from it. Any mitzvah, even Shomer Aveda, it's not like the big three. Shomer Aveda, you pater. What's the only mitzvah we don't apply Osik Mitzvah pater min a mitzvah to? Talmud Torah. That sounds a little bit backwards, right? Okay, so now Rav Aaron's question was not why is Torah not more important than the mitzvah of tefillin that comes about or the mitzvah of lulav comes about, but why is Torah not at least equal to Shomer Aveda? If I'm watching the Aveda, okay, I'm butter. But if I'm learning Torah, I got to stop and get stuck. So it's a double logical imbalance. On the one hand, I'm learning Torah, Rabbeinu Tam, most important mitzvah in the world, more important than mitzvah. Now it comes down for lulav. I should say, I'm doing a more important mitzvah, Talmud Torah. Rashi has an easy answer. Lulav is more important than Torah. But the Rabbeinu Tam is more important than lulav. Keep learning and ignore lulav. The flip angle of the question is that if on the same day when I'm supposed to take lulav, I'm just being Shomer Aveda, oh, Shomer Aveda beats lulav. But Talmud Torah is at least a mitzvah. Don't call Talmud Torah. Let's ignore the categories. Is Talmud Torah a mitzvah? Right, I keep telling you. Last I checked, it is. Which means you can't be firm unless you learn Torah as a male. How much? Whatever. But you got to learn Torah to be firm. Otherwise, you're not being mekayim the mitzvah. And you're not firm. Or at least you're not trying to be mekayim the mitzvah. So, if I wake up on the third day of Chol HaMoed, I'm busy with the Aveda, I never have to take a lulav. But then on the fourth day of Chol HaMoed, where there's no Shomer Aveda, all I'm doing is learning. Whoa, stop. Talmud Torah is also a mitzvah, right? Forget about Torah as a category versus mitzvahs. Yes, I'm learning now. Okay, I'm involved in Talmud Torah. I'm not pater from lulav for some reason. But I'm learning Torah. I'm also doing a mitzvah. Why should it be? That's a stronger question, Rav's question. I mean, it's not his question. It's the same logic. Evidently, there's something, whenever you find something inconsistent and counterintuitive logically, then you got to flip the paradigm and break out and build a new category, right? Because there's obviously something here, and you got to see it from a different angle. What's here? So here, all my young gush guys, okay, this is a very famous Yishami. Let's take out our source sheet. A very, very important Yishami. Really important Yishami. Remember we said, okay, wait a second, I got to find out. Elio, how old are you?
17.
You got to leave the room. This is a rated R Yerushalmi. Only 18 and older. Anyone not have their 18th birthday yet? No, no. Any young guys here? Gabriel, you and Elio go like the Kohenim. Go out for a minute. Rated R Gemara. Gemara is talking about our question. It's Yerushalmi and Shabbos and Brachos. It's all over the place. Very well-known Yerushalmi. And listen carefully. Here's an amazing Chiddush of Rav Aharon. And Yerushalmi says, okay, how could you even fathom Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Shita, if you're Osek B'Tara, Taraso Naso, you're learning Torah all day, you're Pater from Mitzvot, and there's a Havamin in the Gemara. Below, line number 4, Moda Rashvi, Shemafsikin Lasos, Sukkah V'Lasos, Lulav. Isn't she Moda at least to do Mitzvot? But less Leila Rashbi, remember the following Mamar Chazal, Halomeid Alminas Lasos, you have to learn to do Mitzvot. Lo Halomeid Shalom Lasos, Shalomeid Shalom Lasos. If you learn Torah and you have absolutely no interest in mitzvos, nachla shalom nivra. There's no purpose for you on this earth. It's, can you imagine? It's better that you hadn't been created by Hashem. Now the Gemara gets rated R, just to highlight the perverse nature of not translating Torah into its natural reflection, natural consequence, natural expression in mitzvos. You know what it's like when something starts with potential and that potential goes south and the whole thing is worthless? It's like a miscarriage. And here's the rated R part. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Halameid Shalom Lasos, Noach Lo Kilo, Kilo Nevcha Shal Yaso Alpanav. It's like, better that you've been stillborn. Now we're getting gynecological in order to trace, right? There's a SAT, guys, right? Gestation, impregnation, is the delivery as Torah is the mitzvahs. So if you sever mitzvahs in Torah, you're severing delivery from. This is the natural tension of our sugya, guys. That's why I'm so happy we're learning Nefesh HaChayim. What's eternal Torah? No mitzvahs and olam haba. But why am I learning Torah? To understand Hashem's ratzon. Get close to Hashem, Yinevet Hashem. And in this world, Hashem's tzivui is mitzvahs. Right? Be careful. Right? The clock is ticking on your mitzvahs of lulav. You have only maybe 90 more times to look kind of mitzvahs lulav. Because in Shemayim, there's no lulav. There's no mitzvahs. There's no tzitzis. There's no berachas amazon. There's no maybe berachas amazon. Shevach Hashem, but it's only mitzvah. Shatnez, nevela, basa b'chalav. There's no a body like through a mitzvah. Torah is eternal, as we're saying. It's cosmological. So there's a hierarchy that Torah surpasses mitzvahs. But in this world, if you learn and you're learning Torah to get close to Hashem, Hashem wants you to do mitzvahs. If you're not learning, now here's the chiddush. Everyone, listen carefully. Step 2, and then step 3, we'll bring it home. Sounds from the Gemara. Finish the sentence, briskers. Sounds like Gemara, if you learn Torah without intent to fulfill mitzvahs. Again, how do you define without intent, right? If I miss a mitzvah, I got it wrong. I mean, someone says, you know what, I'm a kofar. I'm not interested. I'm just learning this for intellectual excitement. I'm not interested in mitzvahs at all. Not someone that struggles in mitzvahs, not there. Sounds like what? Not just that there's a chisaron, briskers. It's a chisaron. Sounds like, say it better.
It's not good.
Right, say it even better. What's the opposite of a chisaron? What's worse than a chisaron? I mean, if I have a lulav, so there are two ways to pass the lulav. Let's say, for example, the lulav, the tiomis is a little bit split. It's still in the lulav. Let's say, all the leaves are on one side, botanically. It comes from a different species. And what's that? Is that a psal in the lulav, or it's? Not considered a lulav at all, right? Say it in Yiddish, nishkein lulav. It's not a lulav. Or say it in Hebrew, tzafka. It's not even a lulav. Right? Psulei mikdashim. Sometimes it's a psul in the carbon. Sometimes it's not even a carbon. Remember we talked about ones here at some point. Is ones a p'tur onjin? We talk about it a little bit. Or is ones not a maisever at all? So when I learn Torah without intent for mitzvahs, is it a chisaron of my Talmud Torah? No, it sounds like from the Shalmi, it's not Talmud Torah. Interesting question. Who wants a double matrix brisker question? Okay, let's see. We'll attack it from our standpoint and then from the different standpoint. If someone comes over to me and says, Rebbe, I want to learn Torah, but I've no interest in mitzvahs. Should I make a brichas atar? So if the Shalmi is right, what would you say? No. To make a brichas atar. Unless, what's the other matrix or the other axis of this question? Maybe the Chiddush doesn't revolve around the nature of Talmud Torah Shlomo Nas Lasos, but about the nature of Okay, let's get back to our original Elul methodology. The question of whether Halamei Shalom and Aslasa should make a Birch Satara depends either how I understand Halamei Shalom and Aslasa, which is our conversation now, or how I understand Birch Satara. Maybe Birch Satara is not a bracha on the mitzvah of Tara, it's a bracha on Tara itself. That's Reb Chaim's Chiddush. Can anyone think of people? I'll give you a little hint. People. I'll give you another hint. Can Alex and Henry and Zev, sort of thing. Other Zev, and okay, yeah. You want to think of people who are not chayiv in Talmud Torah but still make a Birch Zatar. Ari. Come on. What? Women. 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 People that go to co-ed schools, right? You sat next to them, right? They're Pater and Talmud Torah, and yet, according to the Shulchan Aruch, they make a bracha. So there are 15 ways to slice that Shulchan Aruch. But Reb Chaim said, you have a raya from this, a famous Reb Chaim, that Birchas HaTara isn't on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, it's on the Chetz of Torah. Whoever learns Torah is make a bracha. Would a guy make a bracha? Famous question, Reb Chaim. Guy's also Pater and Talmud. If a guy came to me and says, I'm learning Torah, should make a bracha. Well, he's Pater and Brachas. It's a whole big lumbus in Reb Chaim. But let's assume right now, for our purposes, another question. Similar question. Let's see if you can parse this. A man comes over to me and says, I'm learning Torah without any concern about mitzvahs. I could care less. Can you learn Torah in the bathroom? He's not a guy mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Unless you say the issue of Torah in the bathroom has nothing to do with the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It has to do with the Torah in the bathroom. Again, it would be an odd question. I'm not interested in mitzvahs, but by the way, can I go into the bathroom? You just said you're not interested in mitzvahs. Why asking that question? And I'm not interested in mitzvahs, but can I do this and that? Seems a little bad. Evidently, he's interested in mitzvahs. And if deep down he's still interested in mitzvahs, maybe I would say, you know what? You think you know menas lasos, but you really are menas lasos. Right? Rav Amital would tell us this great story that the arch reformists in England in the middle of the 19th century... They decided they wanted to stick it to the Orthodox. So how did you stick it to the Orthodox? So anyone hear the Pittsburgh Convention? Pittsburgh Convention, there are two big conventions. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, I forget what came which. But like the big thing was at the first convention, I think it was conservative or reform maybe, they served clamshells and mussels at the dinner to show like, you know, we're not interested in any of this. The other way is to shtuch it. Like what day would you want to shtuch it to the firm Jews? Yom Kippur. Like this is a day that you would come out of the closet as a heretic if you're in the shtetl, but if it was a convention and you wanted to come out and say, we're not firm, you did it on Yom Kippur. Anyway, so in England, they had a whole movement, and on Yom Kippur night, they had, instead of davening and shul, they had a kol nidre ball. Everyone's invited to come and dance the night away. Nidre, big bands, dancing, music. It was called Neshef. Well, it was in English, but in Hebrew it's called Neshef Kol Nidre. Neshef is the all-night party. Neshef. So the all-night party. Now there is a group of even more radical anarchists who are angry. He says, why are you doing on Yom Kippur? You're assuming that Yom Kippur is an important day. Like even just by having the bowl on Yom Kippur, you're saying that Yom Kippur is nothing. We don't want to use it. There's a big argument in England in the 1870s. Should there be amongst the anarchists and the more radical anarchists, should there be a bowl on Yom Kippur? Should there not be a bowl? Which means that even when you rebel against Hashem, sometimes you're still acknowledging Hashem. That was the whole point. Like you're acknowledging Hashem by having the bowl on Yom Kippur. It's just a regular day. Have it on December 10th or something. So it reminds me of that, you know. I don't do a mitzvah, but what's halacha? Can I read it in the bathroom? Okay, so now we have two steps. We saw the Yishalmi, and we said that if you learn Torah without any interest in performing mitzvahs, then it's not even Torah. It's not that you're learning Torah and it's flawed. Here's a big chiddush. Get ready to open your eyelids. Here's an amazing chiddush. What action can I do that would show that I'm just not interested in mitzvahs? The mitzvahs are important to me. What an action. So why am I a heretic? But what else? Someone who doesn't announce itself as heretic and Torah. What action could I do that would show that my Torah is not intending to do mitzvahs, and thereby undercutting my Torah? I'm going to say it in two senses, see if it like wakes you up. Torah is like every other mitzvah. It's docha mitzvahs. But if Torah is docha mitzvahs, then it's not. So you're stuck in a cycle. Torah is not less. Yeah, Torah is Dalach HaMitzvos. But once Torah is Dalach HaMitzvos, then not Torah. Said differently, when I'm watching an Aveda at the cost of another mitzvah, Shomer Aveda doesn't have to be Almanaz Lassus Mitzvah. Shomer Aveda is a cell in the beehive of 613. So if I do Shomer Aveda at the cost of a mitzvah, I haven't ruined Shomer Aveda. But if I learn Torah at the cross of a mitzvah, because Torah has to lead to mitzvahs, then basically my Torah is subverted. One second, Alex, just absorb it. Torah is not less than other mitzvahs. It has the capacity, the potential, the strength to be Dalcha mitzvahs, but once it's Dalcha the mitzvah, it will undercut the Torah. When I'm Shomer Aveda, or I'm going to see my Rebbe, and the mitzvah gets lost, okay, I don't have to perform mitzvah X while acknowledging the importance of every other mitzvah. Mitzvahs are cells in a beehive. So I can say, you know what, right now I'm doing mitzvah X, and I don't have to worry that mitzvah X comes at the cost of Y, because mitzvah X doesn't need concern for Y to maintain its integrity. But there's one mitzvah that has to be concerned with every other mitzvah to maintain its own inner integrity. That's Torah. So if I learn Torah at the cost of any other mitzvah. The same thing here in Abay Nutah. What's more important theoretically? Of course, Talmud Torah. But when I'm learning Torah and I have a mitzvah to perform, I can't say I'm busy with Torah because then you're not learning Torah. An amazing finish when you think, yeah, of course. Of course. Of course that's right. And I'll just bring two of Rav Aaron's 11 rayas. Not getting into all of that. In theory, then, if I'm learning Torah and my ignoring the mitzvah doesn't communicate lack of interest in the mitzvah, then I may be able to apply the p'tur of Osig mitzvah, Potam in a mitzvah to Talmud Torah. It's not that the p'tur doesn't apply. That's chronological. Of course it should apply. Torah is the most, it is a mitzvah and it's the most important mitzvah. So don't call it the most important mitzvah. Call it your average regular mitzvah. But every average regular mitzvah is Dalcha mitzvah. The problem is that if Torah is Dalcha mitzvah, then the Torah becomes subverted. What if there's a scenario where I'm learning Torah and I don't do a mitzvah, but it doesn't prove that my Torah is what sort of I'm looking for, apathetic to mitzvahs or derelict about mitzvahs, unconcerned about mitzvahs? Who remembers the Gemara Moed Katan? Which mitzvahs can we apply the p'tur of Osik the mitzvah betal mitara patur in a mitzvah? If it's a mitzvah, what do you mean? Let's say I know there are enough people at the funeral. I have the right, the Gemara says, maybe the responsibility to continue learning. What do you mean? I have a mitzvah to go to the funeral. Why can't I say Shalas v'Teichem? I'm no less than anyone else. I still have the mitzvah. I'll still be behind the mitzvah. When it comes to Talmud Torah and Lulav comes, I got to stop. When it comes to Talmud Torah and Achanas Eskala or whatever, it's stuck with things then. It's stuck at this Kol Tzarcha or Levaya. Then I can say, this mitzvah is already being taken care of by other people. What do you mean? Listen carefully to the following logic. If the principle of Osig mitzvah put them in a mitzvah for some strange reason just didn't apply to Talmud Torah for some formal reason, then it would not apply to any mitzvah. And you'd have to stop Talmud Torah for every mitzvah. The Rambam says, no, it applies to Torah as long as the Torah doesn't broadcast the lack of interest in mitzvahs. So if I have a mitzvah of lulav and I learn Torah, I'm sorry, I don't care about mitzvahs because who's going to take care of my mitzvah of lulav? But if it's a mitzvah tzibur and enough people are attending to it, so my Torah is not showing disdain for mitzvah. My Torah is saying, look, I'll learn and I'll perform the mitzvah. Otherwise, how do you make this distinction? And we find one mitzvah, we don't paskin like this, at least in the Mechilta, that if you're learning Torah, you're pater from. What's that mitzvah? Tefillah. So in the Mechilta, Mechilta on the back of page 1, it was the Karim Ben Enacha, Pasek in Baal, Levan Tia Torah, Hashem Beficha, Mikan Amru, Chalam Enech Tefillin, Kilu Karim Batara, Chalam Karim Batara, Pater Ben Tefillin. Wow. Your father's a Talmud Chacham? You want to trick him? Say, Alva, we learned, we touched on the Sigur, Osi Mitzvah, Patav, and a Mitzvah, it doesn't apply to Talmud Torah. Which one Mitzvah does apply? And you can say, I'm learning Torah and Patav in the Mitzvah. Of course, Api Allah, none of them. One is Mitzvah Shad Shalas, Hez Deacher, and two is, according to the Mechelta, Tefillin. If the principle of Osi Mitzvah, Patav, and a Mitzvah doesn't apply to Talmud Torah, why should you use Torah to bother yourself in Tefillin? Well, what if the core of Tefillin is, don't find the word? Look at the Mechalta, is? What'd you say? Someone said it? No, that's the Gemara Moed Katan. That's one strategy where I'm not disdaining the mitzvah because other people are celebrating the mitzvah. What if I find the mitzvah that's basically a derivative of Torah? So I'm not disdaining the mitzvah of Tefillin because what's the mitzvah of Tefillin? To learn Torah. And I'm learning Torah. I'm attending to the mitzvah by even though I'm not performing the mitzvah. Follow? It's a different strategy. Is a mitzvah of tefillin just to like wrap myself in leather? Mitzvah of tefillin is basically a subset of Torah. How do you know that mitzvah of tefillin? Come on. Who went to Rabbi Litak Shiona? How do you know that tefillin is a subset of Torah? What is the Torah, right? Okay, pasuk. But why, how else? More structural and chiasmic, whatever. I don't know these fancy words, but where does the mitzvah of tefillin appear? Not only in Bo, in historical context, but where does the mitzvah of tefillin appear in a Torah frame? What? Yes, what do we call that parsha? We call that parsha Kriyat Shema. That's the pasuk of Torah. Hashem wants you not just to learn Torah, but to wrap yourself in Torah. Okay, you're not going to take a whole sefer Torah and wrap yourself in Torah. Take four salient parshas in the Torah, put them in a box, whatever the box means, and wrap yourself in a box. Okay, learn not to be trapped by your own reality. Mashiach will come, maybe tomorrow, hopefully, and you can wake up to a different world. Not a world of democracy, but a world of monarchy. You know what else? Here's a good one to think about, wrap your head around, literally. Imagine wearing tefillin all day. How would that change your experience? Just think about it, wrap your head around it, a reverse metavor. Like, what if that's the way we used to experience Avodas Hashem? What a reason we rolled it back. Like, yeah, I'm going to the pizza store to meet my girlfriend. How you doing? Oh, nice filling. Okay. Oh, I'm going to. I'm going to my college campus because there's a party to celebrate Thanksgiving. I'll walk into the bar. With your tefillin, of course, it's Yimos HaMashiach, so Baruch Kalam Eretz Kishem Shem Nikro Lachav Yeromek. I'll see the tefillin and say, hey, free beer. You know, you want a beer? We're afraid of you. Not afraid of you, we honor you. Just have the maturity to imagine worlds that aren't yours. Don't leave to those worlds because they're not here yet. That's escapism. But don't reverse engineer perfection based on your experience. Your experience is your experience, and that's the one we have to excel at. Right, I have this conversation. I don't mean just giving an example because maybe some of you are going through this. Right, boys come over to me and you know they're going out very, very seriously. So, you know, what should I do? What should I do? So, look, obviously, if it's reached a certain stage, it's not just it's useless, but it's ridiculous. It's counterproductive. If you're going to marry this girl, then you know continue the relationship and get married. Perhaps I'm stressing today's world, but sometimes a boy comes over and says, you know, I'm not sure I want to marry her, but I'm very, very emotionally connected to her and deeply. We'll have this conversation in Mitzvah. One night in Vod, we talk about co-ed, not co-ed, all those questions. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, let's start from the following. If you could turn back the clock, now that you're in yeshiva, you're not sure you want to marry her and you're completely obsessed and you can't, you know, would you rewrite history and basically not get involved in socializing because it puts you into the state that you really don't have the resources of it? Like, that's a mature thing to say, you know what, maybe I wouldn't if I can go back and change history, but now I am, and now how do you proceed? This is such an important skill in life. I'm saying something which is that your life, just say, to find that sweet spot, because a lot of people can't accept their reality, and they're always dreaming about something that they can't be, and they're not, and they're always chasing, it's like Don Quixote, you're chasing, it's called quixotic, you're chasing realities that can't be yours, and you waste a lot of energy. Okay, excel within your lane. This is who you are, these are your limits, this is your framework, how can you be the best of you in this framework? But some people don't have the courage to say, okay, but this may not be the perfect one, and maybe, and you need those too. You can't fall in either extreme. You can't be stuck in your world and assume it's perfect, and you can't run away from your world and try to trace dreams that are irrelevant after you've made decisions. And how you find that balance in life is crucial to growth and identity and maturity. Like, to say, okay, maybe I would have done things differently, but this is where I am right now. And where I am right now, how could I perfect? I can't tell you when to make that jump to the other reality. But you have to have the capacity to imagine beyond yourself. Some people don't have that capacity. What I'm living through is perfect. It's not. But it's yours. And how can you make it as good as you can until that, unless that perfect state entails? Okay, so what were we talking about? Tefillin, right? Wearing tefillin all day. Another rant. Got to make sure we end share by reasonable time. You know? So let's just go back to the Mechilta. How could the Mechilta justify? So the Meshech Chachma says, and Rav Aaron also quoted, I don't think he quoted the Meshech Chachma, but I found it. I may have, but he says, line number 3, Meshech Chachma, I will say, you know, you know why you have to stop learning to do mitzvahs? It's not that Torah doesn't beat mitzvahs. It's just, if Torah beats mitzvahs, then Torah is decayed. But when the Torah, Yisrael David, describes tefillin, it talks about Torah. Tefillin is, he used a strange word, sibur l'limud. I would have said in more brisker terms, it's not like the reason for limud, it's the chelik of limud. Imkin, a meniach tefillin who rakilu asik v'tara. V'lchein akarei shukvar asik ba'mesofev. Patim Mitzvah and Shiva Sipa uses cause and effect. But basically, I cannot learn Torah at the cost of mitzvahs. So if I don't do Lulav, cause and mitzvah. I don't do Sukkah, cause and mitzvah. Don't do Matzah, cause and mitzvah. But if I'm learning Torah at the cost of Tefillin, wait a second, Tefillin is like my, is me. Tefillin is Torah. Tefillin is a subset, is a daughter, is a derivative of Torah. So I'm doing Tefillin right now because I'm learning Torah. I'm not symbolically learning learning Torah. I'm actually learning Torah. For instance, Tefillin is to wrap my body in Torah. What if I'm engaged in a more, as we'll see in the Sefer Tanya, we'll start learning next week, learning Torah is a more, because intellectually, if you're engaged in Torah, and that's wrapping your body, you're wrapping your whole essence in Torah. Now, you're not wrapping your physical arm, but you're wrapping your intellect, your emotion, your experience, your misove. So I'm putting on Tefillin right now. This is my Tefillin. Yeah, we don't pass like this, Michalta. Put on Tefillin. But these are the two of the 11 proofs that Rav Aaron brought, that the in-application or the non-application of Oseg v'mitzvah patur mina mitzvah to Talmud Torah is not based on a fundamental asymmetry, but a causality or a relationship of causality between Torah and mitzvahs, which would undercut Torah if it's at the cost of mitzvahs. This is the classic way. Before I answer your question, just zoom out, guys, with me. This is the classic way to solve Rabbeinu Tam. Again, what's the problem with Rabbeinu Tam? Rabbeinu Tam's hierarchy. Rashi doesn't have this problem. Needs to be Rashi. What's the most important value? Mitzvahs. That's why you're learning Torah. Stop, because something more important is coming along. A mitzvah. And Rabbeinu Tam's evaluation, unless you change, like Tosis and Kiddushin, Torah is always more important than mitzvahs. The problem with Chizkiyah was just a logical inversion. But Torah is more important than mitzvahs. If Torah is more important than mitzvahs, then why stop learning to do a mitzvah? That's what forced Tosfos and Kiddushin to change the hierarchy and to flip it in the end to mitzvahs being more important than Torah, but neither more important than teaching. More like Rashi's hierarchy in the end. But if you don't say Tosfos' inversion in Kiddushin, Rabbeinu Tam keeps Talmud Torah as superior to mitzvahs and still, according to the Svara, demands that you stop learning to do a mitzvah or else your learning will be flawed. Questions, Alex?
So it's possible that it's if theoretically, right, if you haven't learned the inyan of the mitzvah, or if you're being osig and part of Torah, then it's not related
theoretically,
to the mitzvah.
Right.
Say I'm learning the zikin and you know the mitzvah of lulav comes up, right? Theoretically, I'm not saying that I don't.
No. A and not B. A is all of Torah is one ring. So even though I'm learning lulav and I ignore an zikin, I'm learning zikin and I ignore lulav, it's all one logic. The first part is in theory. If I say, look, I know I have a mitzvah, I don't know what a lulav is, I just landed from Mars. I'm going to go right now and look at Masechta Sukkah or Shulchan Aruch or Art School, whatever. And of course, that's the purpose. It's called Hafshe Mitzvah. So, Mamash Hafshe Mitzvah. So, that would apply. If I absolutely, I don't know what I'm doing, I need to learn the Torah just to, you know, just because we're reaching the end, so I'm not going to teach you the Shilchus today. But, you know, great Rav Amitel story. There's actually a guy in the Yeshuv, a Swiss guy, okay, Ariel probably knows him. Great, interesting community called Benny Gesundheit. That's his name. It's a Swiss name. He's a doctor, well-known doctor. He and his brother, Shimon Gesundheit, learned in yeshiva in the 80s in Switzerland. So Rav Amitel came to give him a bechina. They went to public school. They had nothing in Switzerland. So they spent a month learning everything about Judaism they can get their hands on. Like, who is Avram? Who is Noach? What's Bereishis? What Shabbat? Like, they grew up in a kosher home, but they didn't know anything. So they spent, like, a month. Rav Amitel walks in, they're sitting in their living room, he came to Switzerland to interview them, and they're like, I'm fighting the nails, so I get to get in, I'm fighting the nails, like, what is he going to ask me? I don't know anything. Like, who is Moshe Rabbeinu? I think he was, maybe so. Rav Amitel says he wants to meet their father first. Their father was a Holocaust survivor, so Rav Amitel went to the back room. Turns out they came from the same village in Europe, the same Grossvarden in Hungary. Turns out they both like some good whiskey. Turns out they both like some good cigars, and they sit there for an hour drinking, living the old times, what happened before the Holocaust, where are you, catching up to date, whatever, they didn't know each other. And like Benny and Shimon, like, oh no, what is she talking about? What is he asking my father? So finally, after an hour of Amitel, I think about something, I have like a whole different set of who I accept. I don't just accept boys based on how they perform the Mechina, like I take into account a lot of things that I hope will germinate. Like, you may have totally, like some people say, this kid is brilliant, and he said, okay, but I'm looking at different things. I'm looking at a whole bunch, I'm trying to project. I don't care how well you learn and how many miles of Gemara you've been through. Like, where does this guy come from? What's his background? What is his father like? What is his grand? So Ramital walks out after an hour, and he says, do you guys want to come to the yeshiva? And Benny and Shimon say, yeah. He says, okay, you're accepted. He walks out. Spent the whole month preparing for a bechina that never happened. It's like, I feel like you look like Parshas Chayisar, like Eliezer Eved Avram comes and he has like this whole pitch, and we're just loving to say, okay. No, you're not supposed to say okay. Give me a chance to make my pitch. You know? I got graphs. I got a jingle. You know? Give me a chance to make my pitch. Like, they heard about Hashem and Eved Avram. So impressed with Eved Avram. Okay. Hashem I'm like, and I said, wait a second. I've just spent 40 seconds preparing my pitch. Like, give me a chance. Say no. You say no and I'll convince you. Like, we spent the whole month preparing. And so like, you know, I don't accept kids only based on their bechina. I accept a lot of kids based on, like, you know, what's his background, what's his, like, you know. I told you once, you know, anyone who tells me you have a grandparent living at home and you share a room with a grandparent, to me, that's like, you can learn more from sharing a room with a grandfather, or, you know, than anything, you know, they can teach you in high school. You know, there's midos and there's approach to life. And as you know, growth in here is exponential. So you read Gemara a little worse, a little better, a little less. You come in with a hat. Now it doesn't. I'm not looking at them. She's like, how can I take this boy and project will it be an Obed Hashem? And Mother Yeshiva will have a term Obed Hashem. It's nothing to do sometimes with intellect and how much Gemara you do know or don't know. A lot of different things. Anyway, other questions? Yes, no.
How is worried to fill an Obed Hashem? It's Talmud Torah. Seemingly,
so what's your question?
You said that, like, Torah is not Obed Hashem, it's like nothing.
Right, but almanas lasos means if Torah comes at the cost of another mitzvah in the system, then Torah shalom almanas lasos. But I'm learning Baba Kama, I can't be learning Gittin, right? So if I'm not learning Gittin because I'm learning Baba Kama, it's not vying or defeating another mitzvah. So tefillin is like Gittin when I'm learning Baba Kama. I'm learning Baba Kama, and tefillin is like learning another mitzvah. Right? So it's not defeating a different team, it's defeating its own team. So feeding its own team. Right, here we are.
So if you hold the tefillah b'doraisa, then if you come davening late, shouldn't you daven and then brantum?
We don't hold like the mechilta.
Okay.
Number one. Number two, tefillah is din and davening. At least meet your rabbanan. Kabbalah smach hushamayim. Kriyat shema. Made it a sheker. Okay, so it's an interesting question, but the answer is no. Again, if you know, whatever, if you need to say kiddush or kaddish, but, you know, but in a micro sense, obviously, if they're saying something, you need to answer, and pretty much tefillin is Michelle, like the brachas, and they see someone is holding the tefillin, and, you know, not continuing with the hanachas of tefillin, because they want to say, hey, shmei rabba, you know, there's more of not having hefzik in the bracha, so they have the right, but to say, you know, I'm going to dive in and put on tefillin later, that's generally not a minute. Okay, so it's a little bit later than I expect. I'll tell you, well, let's just talk a little bit about Chayesara, and then next week, we'll have shiur on Sunday, hopefully. Only a Kodesh Baruch Hu knows what my next 36 hours are going to look like. 8 grandchildren, 2 parents in wheelchairs, and all my girls. And so we have a lot happening, but the Mirtz Hashem, hopefully I'll be able to teach you the Shulvas on Sunday. Hopefully for my sake.